going on in our nation. It's amazing what's in the heart of people. And also, I want to thank my sister Sandy for bringing forth the word, because I felt an unction up here, but I wasn't quite like getting anything, and then she did it. So I was just encouraging you that you've heard from the Lord this morning when you spoke. That was good. And I should say the Lord was good through you. Amen. The Lord is good through us. God is great through us. Amen. Praise God. Anyways, we're racism. What's the root of racism? Anybody? What? Hate. Hasn't our society, it isn't the church so much, but it's society, make racism the number one most rotten sin you could ever commit? And doesn't it, but it's okay to hate. We have our media today, our politicians, and me personally, there is not a man that's more hated than Donald Trump in America. And the media feeds that, politicians feed that, and it's in the heart of people. And racism is a product of hatred, besides other things, bitterness and all kinds of attitude toward people. According to Jesus, you don't actually have to kill someone to murder them. You do it when you hate people. But for some reason, you know, our nation has been, for 3 years now, promoting hate. Like it's okay to hate people. Now our nation is seeing the results of hatred being promoted. Hate is the exact opposite of God. God is love. So the other end of that is hate. Right now, personally, I see there is no hope for our nation. Hatred has gotten in the hearts of people, and it's being expressed. It's being exposed. It's being promoted. And, of course, there is hope, and it is Jesus Christ. There is no greater time. That's what I'm going to preach about today. So I guess I don't need to say any more about that, but that is just more and more as I see our nation falling apart, more and more in me, there's this something stirring. Like, this is our moment, church. This is our moment to promote love. Amen. So I'm going to preach out of 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Lord, bless the preaching of this word. God, what I've envisioned in my mind, Lord, and the hope I've had, Lord, and what I believe how it would stir us, Lord, is I think that so often about sermons you've given me that I put together. Let it be so, Lord. Let it just move us, Lord. Let it move me, God, Father. Let it bring forth a results and a powerful work in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 1 Kings 7, 1 through 7. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain for these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. I believe we're in a church age that drinks from a brook. We drink a trickle. We've been drinking from a trickle as long as I can remember. Back in August of 1983, I'll be going on 37 years now, I've been a believer. Back then I was invited, not by the man that led me to the Lord, but what he was inviting me was to come and drink from the brook, to come and drink from Almighty God, from the Holy Spirit. And the water was cool and it was clear and it was so satisfying to me. I did some drinking up to that point in my life. Got drunk a few times. But nothing ever satisfied like the drink I took from that brook of the Holy Spirit, the living water in my, that I got to drink from. My Catholic school upbringing, I went to Catholic grade school up to like sixth grade. Never satisfied me once. Never did I find any satisfaction in my religion. Obviously, if you belonged to another religion before you became a believer, you didn't get satisfied either. Right? Because you're looking for something that would satisfy. And he certainly does. That's why I like singing that song, Satisfy My Soul, the chorus that we sing with the best of heaven. It wasn't long after that when I started to realize that this brook that I was drinking from was intended to have much more water. It was supposed to flow much more rigorous. And most of you know my testimony, how after a couple of years of being a Christian, I started to question, like, where is this power? Where is this flow of the Spirit of God in the church? I didn't put it in those words in my mind, but that's certainly what I was looking for, a flow of the Spirit. And even though I got introduced to a Christian basically drinking from a trickle, I'll tell you, I'm grateful for every sip I've had. Amen. I'd still be lost out in the world. There is still way more power in that trickle than the best dynamics of any religion anybody could ever conceive. The drink, even from a trickle, is worth everything. It's worth giving your whole life for it. Religion itself offers nothing to drink from. Yesterday, I was at the old church building. I think I've mentioned to you before, Pastor Paul over there, he started a thing about 3 years ago called Senior Pastors of Greater Milwaukee, and it was for senior pastors. Since then, he's opened it up, and Tyler and Donnie have been going with me, and Joe just recently joined us yesterday, and church building looks really nice. He's really taking good care of it, and says, you know, the Lord is going to honor you for this. This place looks so nice, and Lord has honored us for taking care of our building, hasn't he? That's why what the Lord gives you, I think I added that in my tithing thing, but if you are responsible and take care of, not in an idolatrous way, but just take care of the things God gives you, then he can bless you and provide for you even greater things. And but I was telling Paul, I says, this has got such great memories in this church. Revival broke out here for us. And he goes, oh, when was that? And I said, May 5th. Is that the date, Aaron? No, he's not in here right now. I think it was May 5th, 2005, when I had David Owens come and preach. And Aaron got so powerfully revived that day, maybe saved, really. Who know? We don't really know. But it was such a powerful work. And from there, that you just felt the presence of the Lord. We just started having people come in, young people. It used to be an old people's church up to that point. And then when Penny came, she thought it was a young people's church. But it's a born-again people's church, young or old. Praise God. Come on in. Amen. We need church grandmas and grandpas, and we need church children and everything in between. We are a body of Christ, a church family. But as then that, you know, we just started to realize what revival is. You get pictures of revival and you read stories of revival. But it doesn't have to be this grand thing that's like shaking whole cities and nations. But it can erupt in your church. And it can erupt in you and change you forever. When we get born again, we're changed forever. But you can get changed forever again. In 1997, when I got experienced my powerful revival, I never recovered from it, never got over it. I'm still sick with it. I'm still infected. Praise God. If they would do a test on me, they would find out that my antibodies are revival. And they're not anti-anything. They're full of life. But there was then the brook that I've been drinking from started to flow with more intensity. But yet I know we have not seen the flow of God, and we have not seen the flow of the Spirit like we are going to see. A while ago, I've given up the idea that I'm going to convince anybody about the things of the Spirit. You know, because I believe God's going to. There's people that don't believe God heals. We'll wait until they get healed by God. You'd have to be a complete imbecile to still reject that God, you know, to reject the idea that God heals. God's about to show and convince every one of us of his power, of his Spirit, of his anointing. I'm glad he liberated me from that. I'm going to preach it, but I'm not going to like beat you on the head and whatever to try to get you to see anything. You know, I've watched the church for this almost 37 years try to adjust to this trickle that's been out there. And they come with every teaching, and they come with every technique, and they come with every trend to try to compensate, to make up for the absence of the Spirit of God working in the church. And my assessment of what I've spotted this as a very young believer. The Lord gave me discernment. And what I saw back then, what I understood back then was right. My assessment was right. My attitude was wrong. And I developed bitterness as I seen people leave our church to go to the big, exciting, everything's happening, hundreds of ministries going on, and bitterness got in my heart and things like that. I want you to know I repented of that a long time ago. I got delivered from that. But I still see the compensation out there to make up for the lack of revival and the lack of the Spirit in the church. The church has not come up with anything adequate to replace the work and power of the Holy Spirit because she can't. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. It is impossible to do in the flesh, but only the Holy Spirit, only the Spirit of God can do. The flesh can only, and Galatians teaches us that in Romans chapter 8, Galatians 5, the flesh can only produce flesh. Only the Spirit can produce the Spirit. Only the Spirit can bring spiritual birth. Sure, a man and woman can love each other and produce a physical, fleshy child. But none of us can ever, a child in the flesh, none of us can ever, with everything we can muster together, all of our resources, all of our ingenuity, all of our inventions, and put it all together, not produce one iota of spiritual life. Impossible. You started out as a miracle. And don't think that we can do anything but trust the Spirit of God to save a soul. For some, as they have continued to promote man and his methods, the brook has dried up completely and they moved on. They just gave up on the whole thing. That is why we have dead denominations, we have dead churches, and Christians who went back to the world. Many have tried to move on to a different brand of Christianity, thinking a new discovery or a new movement is the answer. I always get a kick out of this one. We're not going to do it the traditional way. This is the answer. We just get rid of the tradition of our old grumpy forefathers, and we're going to have life. Nope. You still need God. You still need the Spirit of God. And you know what? The way you do things just becomes the tradition for the next generation. Just need God. You need the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. The Lord told Elijah to leave that brook after it dried up and go to Zarephath, where there was a widow who would provide for him. She had water for him. She had food for him. And in the same way, God has taken care of us through seasons of drought and thirst. You know, that brook never dried up for us. There was always something there to drink. And unfortunately, it's sad that many Christians have settled for that little shot glass of drink once in a while. But in the midst of all of that, the Lord has kept us and he has provided for us. But he intends to let that to bust the dam open. He intends for that river to flow again. The reason that river, that brook dried up is because it quit raining. And we need the rain of the Holy Spirit to fall. Amen. Again, in our land, it is the only hope for America. Jesus made a promise to every human being on this earth. It's in John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. When you look that up, it is, I mean, it's actually indication that he yelled. He didn't have a microphone to go up to and speak on, but he yelled out as some insane man. You're going to the mall or something and yell to the top of your lungs, "If you're thirsty, come and drink of me." People go, "There's a lunatic on the loose," you know. But he went and shouted this. Why? Because he wanted the people to hear it. And it reverberated all the way to our generation that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Come to me and drink, because he is a well that never runs dry. I still remember your testimony, my dear sister-in-law, Jackie, when what did I say? You're my daughter-in-law, yeah. You know what I meant, yes. Amen. That's right. I don't mind that you correct me. I want to try to somewhat keep my mind sharp. When Jeremy Prohaska preached about the woman at the well and drinking from the water and you'll never thirst again, and she understood that she had thirsted, tried to satisfy that in other ways. She found out the Lord could satisfy her. Praise God. And I got a daughter-in-law out of it. It's because an evangelist come and preach. Praise God. But if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And this is why you never grew thirsty, saints of God, even though the brook has went down to a trickle and maybe some ways stopped. You never grew thirsty because you still had the living water. You still had the promise of God. Every born-again believer has this river of life flowing in us. And now the work of God is to get that river of life to flow through us. This is where the rain of heaven comes in. Amen? Praise God. I've always, one little analogy I use to describe the filling of the Spirit is you are born again. Before you're born again, you take a clear glass and a toilet that hasn't been flushed but been used. You put your glass in there and you hold it up and look at it and you'll turn your nose from it. And the smell of it, you'll turn your face away from it. And that's how God saw us as heathens. Then he saved us, poured out that, dipped that in a nice, fresh, clear, crystal clear water you could drink from. That's our new life. Then he wants to fill us with the Spirit, and he puts us under the rushing brook or the faucet, so to speak, and turns on the water, and now it doesn't just flow in us, but it overflows the banks, overflows the glass, and it starts touching the world, and we need that in America. We need the river of life to be more than just in us. We need it to flow and overflow out of us and make a difference in this nation, because it is the only hope. He made this promise good to us. He gave us this water that brings forth spiritual life, and that river will always flow in the committed believer. Praise God. That's why you could endure everything out there that's been thrown at us, because life is in you. That river's flowing in you. And when the living water flows in you, you experience it. You might not have the faintest idea what happened. You just know something happened to you. You know that you know that you know that you know. Only Christians get that. something happened. And you would have dug not too long ago. You felt that water flowing you. You didn't have the faintest idea of what it was. But it sure satisfied the thirst and it sure felt good. And you were such a changed man. It's unbelievable. And the things that you know already are unbelievable. Joshua, you weren't saved too long ago, and we're at Bible study, and he's like saying stuff. I go, where did you learn this stuff from, son? It's the Spirit of God just working in him. It's awesome. Praise God, I don't mean you to get all puffed up now. But we need in this day the Holy Spirit to rain on us again. This rain is what affects the world. This rain is what causes the brook to flow. Amen. That Elijah could go there and get everything he needed for his to be a prophet of God. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8 says, therefore, be patient. Out of the six of us yesterday that were at the SPGM meeting, I think two of the prayer requests were for this. Patience. We have a hard time being patient, especially for the work of God. We know the answer to America is God. And it's like, come on, God, can't you see it? Why aren't you doing something? I am, or at least I want to. I've tried to do some stuff. What's up with you, God? It's just our lack of patience. Like, imagine if they would have had that in the upper room. They would have never met there. They would have been out doing their thing. What's wrong with Jesus? Doesn't he know thousands are going to hell every day? And he wants us to wait in some upper room? But he sure made up for time, didn't he? When the Spirit poured out, 3,000, just like that, in a three-minute sermon, get saved. Praise God. Who's that? Billy Graham or somebody says, now we do something for 10 days instead of pray. I forget how he said it. And nobody gets saved out of it. We kind of reverse the order there. But anyways, we preach for 10 days and we pray for three minutes and nobody gets saved. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. So even when the Lord starts to do his work, God's always going to ask us to be patient and always to wait on him. You know why? When you wait on him, when he does it, you know it's him. Isn't that a simple answer to that? See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. We got a latter rain coming yet. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. We heard about that this morning. We need to make sure our hearts are established, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. That's one of the exciting things about this day of unrest. The coming of the Lord is at hand as well. As we're looking for the rain to fall, we can also be assured that the Lord is coming as well to get us. As the farmer patiently waits through the rainy and growing season for the harvest, we must also wait with patience for the rain from heaven. This rain is for the harvest. It's what we need. James is also connecting the harvest again to the coming of the Lord. I believe there is, God knows, there's hearts out there ready. There's a harvest out there ready to be picked. And he is not coming until that last soul that's to be saved through his foreknowledge and predestination foreknowledge. That soul saved, and he's like, okay, I'm satisfied. Go get him, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's connecting the harvest to the coming of the Lord. But right up to the harvest, there's going to be seasons of rain. But I'm telling you, we are looking for a thunderstorm. Praise God. We want it to pour. The day of Pentecost was the first day of rain. That's the early rain. And it wasn't by accident. It was by God's perfect plan to have the Spirit fall on the day of Pentecost. And you know what the day of Pentecost is? It's a celebration of the harvest. So, and you know, everything, and as we teach this all the time, everything in the Old Testament and the natural has a spiritual application in the New Testament. So he chose the day of Pentecost, a day of harvest, to say, boys, today is definitely a celebration of harvest, but now it's a celebration of the harvest of souls. And he poured it out that day. that to give a signal to the church, the harvest time is here. Yeah, many of you know who Brother Aaron Trimble is. He preached for us last year. He's from Nebraska, right in the midst of farmland. When the harvest comes, there is no other season. There is no other agenda. It's like the whole farming community shuts down for a couple weeks, month, however long it is, and their tractors are out 24/7, lights on at night with these big, huge tractors. They pull. He was showing me when they could pull out, and then they got hinges, and these things go out as wide as this building, going field after field, and nothing matters but the harvest until it's done, and then they get to celebrate. Ah, we did our work. And if they don't get that harvest and it gets destroyed, there goes their livelihood. There goes their pay, and there goes their, you know, how they take care of their families and their businesses and all of that. This is what the Lord's saying to us. The harvest is a priority to me. A priority to me, and it's such a priority, I'm not putting you out there. You are out there as sheep amongst wolves, but you have the power because I'm giving it to you, and I'm raining it on you from heaven. God, we need it. We need it, Lord. So the emphasis of the harvest, again, was now towards souls of men. And we can learn from our text in James that just as the farmer expects rain throughout the year up to the harvest, you know, it has to keep on raining. I remember one year Wisconsin was experiencing a drought, such a drought that they even closed hunting in some counties. That's all I remember, because they didn't want anybody out in the woods. Somebody might light a match to smoke a cigarette and a little ember will fall and start a fire. So they closed down some counties. But I remember when it rained, and I was listening to the news, and farmers were reporting that they heard their corn make noise, growing pains. They could hear pop, because it was sucking in the water and the life, and you could actually hear the corn going, ah, oh, I could stretch out now. I could finally grow. Amen. Boy, do we need some water. Amen. We need some living water in the church. So the farmer, he needs that water right up to the harvest, but the Lord's promised us a latter rain. And that's just like the Lord. He isn't going to let the church go out of here all whimpering with his tail tucked under its leg. The church is going to be a force when it goes out. It is going to touch souls before it goes out. And we're going to get it's going to be an awesome thing. There's going to be someone that gets saved and a second later gets raptured. It's like, wow, I knew it was coming, but I didn't think that quick. I thought it was, my son Adam was 6 when I got saved. And I thought, I was telling everybody, my son Adam will never graduate high school. The Lord will be here before that. I just told you that recently, but I got a granddaughter that's about ready to get married from him. But I still do believe the Lord's coming. And I can't help but believe it all the more now. The signs are everywhere. Amen. Praise God, the harvest is ripe.
I'm glad you waited.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Praise God. 1 Kings 18, 41 through 46. 1 Kings 18, 41 through 46. Our story doesn't end yet about Elijah. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." That's the name of the sermon this morning, the sound of rain. Amen. You hear it? And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. So I'm thinking it looks something like this. I know I'm getting a little old. It's easier to go down and get up. But he's like this before the Lord. I think sometimes we do that here, get prostrate, whatever. But he's got his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So like Elijah, I too hear the sound of rain. It's not a thunder that I hear out in the distance. I don't believe that's even what Elijah heard. But it tells me it is a witness in my spirit. And it's a witness in your spirit. I hear it. I hear that sound coming out of our minister friends' mouths. I hear that sound coming out of church members from our minister friends' mouths. I've never in my life seen so many ministers. I never got to know so many, first of all, in my life. I think I probably connected with about 50 of them. And we don't even have a denomination. Can you figure that out? Just like that, the Holy Spirit connects a bunch of people. Isn't that something? I've never been so blessed to be among such a group of men all speaking the same thing. I guess it really is true that we can all speak the same thing and that there can be no divisions amongst us. Praise God that we can all with the one mind and one mouth give glory to God. Hallelujah. There's a witness in their churches, and there's a witness in our church, in our fellowships, amongst our minister friends, that the rain's going to fall. A harvest is going to be there, and the power of God is going to show up in his church, and it's getting louder. I've probably been preaching these kind of messages for my whole 17 or 18 years that I've been doing this, and you'd think by now I would learn to shut up. It hasn't happened yet. What makes you think it's going to? I don't know. I just can't help but think it's going to happen because it's in my spirit. Amen. And God doesn't confirm that. God's confirmed that a zillion, bakillion, to million times in my life. If I was like some lone dude out there with my thoughts and ideas and everybody's like, you're goofy, then I guess I'd be goofy. But I'm telling you, this is what we are, the body of Christ, the larger body of Christ, the genuine remnant are believing for. So, kind of bringing this to an end here, if there is one thing that we can do to promote and help this rain to come, it's follow the example of Elijah. I gave you a little demonstration of him, but it's not the way he sat, it's what he did. Does anybody know what he did while he was doing that? How do you know that? Well, you're right. You get A. James told us that. We assume that he's praying, but James confirms that's exactly what Elijah did. So we're going to pray, not for a substitute. We're not going to pray for some other grand idea. We're going to pray for the real, genuine outpouring of the Spirit of God in our day. We have been praying for that. And we prayed a bunch of times for that. And just like Elijah prayed a bunch of times, we will continue to pray a bunch of times. He didn't pray an eighth time because on the seventh time, the clouds started forming the size of a man's hand. One time, the Lord, I agreed to pray for a couple in our church. They could not have children. They adopted one already, and they're in the process of adopting another. But I took it upon myself to pray for them. One day I went to pray for them, and the Lord said to me, don't need to pray for them. She's going to be pregnant. Lo and behold, some time later, they announced, they never thought they could have a baby, that they're going to have a baby, and did. So I quit praying because God answered the prayer. Amen? But until he answers the prayer, we keep on praying. That's why Elijah prayed. Oh, boy, where's his faith? It took him seven times. Well, I'll tell you what. If he had bad faith, mine is terrible. because I prayed 7,000 times, times 7,000 times. But I'm still praying. James gives us Elijah as an example of the power of prayer. He says in James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. I'm sure it was when he was down on his knees, right? Why was he doing that? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Amen. We don't want the rain just so you can get a little bath and a little shower. We don't want it to rain just so we can get a little fix. It's like, oh, I knew the power of God was real. But there's a purpose to it. It is to bring forth fruit. It's to produce a harvest for this day. It's to change the minds of millions of lost Americans. We have to admit, we kind of got hit blindsided with this COVID thing and all this social media, especially as old timers having to learn all of this. But God's not surprised. And I'm just like, God, you can work it all out. I don't have an answer, but you do. I'm with you. I'm running with you. And when you tell me something, I'll do it. And I'll understand it when you want me to understand it. But in the meantime, I've got my all staked on you. I'm all banked. Everything's banked on you, Lord. So Elijah bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees. Again, it doesn't necessarily say that he's praying, but we knew that's what he did because James tells us that. And we learned that he prayed with insistence. That means you keep on doing it. And, you know, since Aaron already mouthed off a little bit here this month, he was really good at being insistent. But I never did give in and get him a trampoline. But he would go on and on and on, insistent for stupid, dumb things. How can we not be insistent for the things of God? Amen? And go on and on. And Joy and I would say, Aaron, you should be a lawyer. You would win every case. Just because they're like, we're sick of this guy. Give him the victory. So we need to pray with insistence. Never give up. We need to pray with intensity. Put something behind it. Mean it. Not just the casual words between your yawn and dozing off. You know what I do sometimes when I'm really tired? I just like doze off for a second, and then I wake up and get back at it again. And get back to my prayer. And we need to pray with confidence. And I hope I stirred your confidence this morning that the Lord is yet going to do this. We know it's the only hope, right? We've run out of things. Not that we've tried things, but the church world has tried a lot of things. And what it has gotten us? A nation filled with hate. You know, when that brook dried up, you know what? Jezebel was out murdering prophets. That's what was going on. Ahab was wanting to kill the prophet. The land of Israel is in disarray. They didn't even know who to believe anymore, if it was Baal of God or if the Lord was God. But Elijah set that straight when he called fire down from heaven, and then they knew who was the God. Well, our nation will not be confused anymore when our God shows up. Amen. Then they'll know he is God. Amen. And then they can decide if they want to serve him or not. Then it's on them. Amen. So we pray with insistence, with intensity, and confidence. As our nation is spinning out of control, there's not a better time than now for the church to pray. All this hate has been encouraged by our politicians and media and has gotten into the hearts of this nation. We need the brook to flow. And that comes through the rain falling. We need the Spirit of God like never before. Let us be like Elijah. We hear the sound. You feel it in you, and the rain is about to fall. And Elijah, when he says there's a sound of an abundance of rain, he just didn't stop and say, okay, I'm going to wait. I heard the sound, but he prayed. You hear the sound, I want you to pray. Right now we're having a prayer meeting. This is how it's going to end. You can stay as long as you want. You can go as soon as you want. You can come to the altar. You can stay in your prayer. You can go out and pace around the building, whatever you want. But we're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for an outpouring of the Spirit. Yes. Amen? I do not. Oh, really? Pentecost Sunday today. Hallelujah. Praise God. I guess the Lord knew that, didn't he? Amen. Actually, what I want to do, the Lord just put this thought in my heart as I was saying that. I'm just going to open it up a little bit. And if you have a prayer in your heart, we're going to put this mic on. This is if the Lord has stirred you. We don't want you to just go on and say a bunch of things. But if the Lord has stirred you to pray, I want you to come to the mic and lead our church in prayer for our... This is the subject. An outpouring of God for his Holy Spirit to come. Things related to that and the power and our nation and what's going on in the nation and the harvest of souls. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to just... turn this over to the spirit of prayer and pray and go ahead and leave if you feel you need, if you got prior engagements, if you want to stay and pray all afternoon, and even if I want to go home, you can stay and pray. Tyler and Kim know how to lock up, whatever. But let's have a prayer meeting, amen? We'll pretend this is Tuesday night, amen? And I'm going to start off by praying. So let's just bow our hearts, let's look to heaven. Lord, God, there's never a time like today, Lord. God, that we need the church to be all that you've intended it to be, Lord. Lord, you intended for you to receive all the glory, Lord. And man has taken so much upon himself, come up with all of our gadgets and gizmos and ideas, Lord, to try to replace the brook that dried up, Lord God. But Father, today we're committed, Lord, to seeing your spirit flow again, God, through us in this nation, Lord. God, I just pray right now, Lord, you give us the spirit of prayer, Lord. Help us to pray with fervor, Lord. Help us to pray effectively. Help us to pray with confidence, Lord, knowing you are hearing our prayers, Lord. We're just not some shabby people from off the road, Lord. We're your people, Lord. And you said we have permission to come into your throne room and to come in boldly, Lord. And we do that this morning as a people that love our nation, love our neighbors, Lord, and are distraught and discouraged as what's happening to this beloved land that you've given us, Lord. Father, God, we just pray, Lord, that you do something, Lord. God, that your spirit come upon us again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Starting out in prayer, like Lord has always shown me that I need to repent of things. There's something in my heart, and there's something I want to say here concerning what Terry preached on, the latter rain idea. I've had doubts in my heart for a long time about that, and I think the Lord has cleared that up today when he used James Elijah, okay? Like, I haven't, like, been on board, like, even believing that God can do this. Well, I've been convinced today he wants to do this.
Amen.
Now, who wants to go on on board with him is up to us. Well, I'm just saying I'm going to be on board. I'm not going to doubt it anymore. I found myself, like, striving over words and scriptures to try to figure out whether this is really for today or not. Well, forget all that. I want the Lord to do it. Just pour out his spirit.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God. God. Bless, O Lord.